Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkenall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Very interesting night tonight. Anyway, got to get my children right. Mommy's always first. Anyway, with that being said, I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I'm very excited about this show that's coming on tonight. I'm waiting for my guests to get logged in, and we're going to move forward on tonight. So I just want to, you know, I don't start the show off without prayer, so let me just go straight into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. I thank you for being who you are. You are our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and the end. Thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides our needs. Thank you for being our Jehovah Rosa, the one, God, that heals me mentally, physically, spiritually, in every way possible. And I thank you for being our Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace. I thank you for just who you are, Lord. I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're about to do. I ask you to watch and take care of those who are mourning and those who are going through right now, because this is a time right now for a lot of people. I thank you for the guests that's coming on, the schedule to come on tonight. I ask that you pray over her and her family. I also thank you for those who will be coming in live and those who will be coming on the replay. And Lord, as we move forward, Lord, I submit Fuchina to you, humbly submit Fuchina to you, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in to saturate and dominate right now. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. So amen, amen, amen. So I just want to make sure that, one, you all can hear me. And two, you all can hear me. I've been dealing with issues with the volume, so I just need to make sure. Good evening, Miss Tressie. Good evening. I appreciate you coming in tonight. I'm actually waiting for my guest tonight. He is actually hailing it from California. So I'm looking forward to having her on the show tonight. And you all know I can't see without my glasses. I got to put it back on. Okay. So that being said, I actually, you know what, we're in a season now where prayer is so important. It is so needed, especially in a time like this. And I just ask that you continue to, pray for you. And I'm asking that you continue to pray for me. And as we're moving forward on today, our show tonight is going to be very interesting. It's actually one that is really near and dear on to me personally. And how many of us are mothers out in this world? And the thing about it is, how many of us are single mothers? And sometimes single mother can come in different ways. It can be by being a widow, you know, from death. It can be by unwed. Sometimes we're married and we find ourselves living as a single mother. And I don't know who that's for any, but you know who that's for. But I know I've had that experience myself. And I'm sorry, you all. I'm having an issue with my guest. I'm trying to get her logged in. All right. So that being said, being a single mother is something interesting, to say the least. Now, it's interesting. As a mother, I've been I've played a mother in quite a few roles. One, I was married to my oldest son. I was married to his father. And then we got divorced. So guess what? I became a single mother. And I co-parent with my ex. We were separated, but more so my son ended up going to Australia. I was actually going to relocate to Australia, and I was not going to do that on a bad marriage, on a rocky marriage. So he ended up, I ended up letting my son go with my son's father because I thought about, you know, how many people, hi, Uncle Elijah, how many people find ourselves, for me, it was the hardest thing I did when he asked to have my son. But as mothers, I know sometimes we feel like it's always best for the child to stay with us. My attitude is always, a child's always best to be with the parent that's going to provide that guidance. And personally, myself, my factors were simply this. My son was getting ready to go move to a continent. We were both all going there. But he has the opportunity to get educated and acclimated to different cultures and different countries, cultures. Heck, he was in a whole different continent, a totally, totally different continent. And that was an experience. He got a chance to learn Japanese. Believe it or not, the second language there, or like how African-Americans are, how we are in America, Japanese is like that in Australia. It's very interesting that he was able to have that culture. And when I was able to go and spend time with him, I think I might have spent two and a half weeks in Australia. The culture is so totally different there. But if I had to do that all over again, would I have done it? I probably wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. And that's a subject for a whole new different day. But anyway, I ended up being a single mother afterwards until he went to go live with his father. And then I had my second son. And me and him got together. We got serious. We were going to get married. And I'm sorry, that just was not going to work out for neither one of us. It wasn't going to work out for neither one of us. But it was a difference between my oldest son and the son and my youngest son. Because I was married to my oldest son, and I was going to get married to the younger one, but that didn't happen. And thank God for that. But we are both happy. That's what matters. But the dynamic is interesting. Now, I still went through that, you know, single mother syndrome. It was a little different with my oldest because his father had a different mindset than the one from my youngest. But that role of single motherhood is very interesting because of all the responsibilities and everything that comes with it. And I didn't realize how serious it was until I actually experienced it myself. And I tell people, you know, my brother once told me, Tina, be careful whoever you lie down with, because if you don't see a future with them, don't do it. I understand that now. I understand that wholeheartedly. But I will say this. Hey, Ms. Siobhan, I will say this, that as having that experience, it taught me a valuable lesson. One, on who I decide to share my life with and who I decide to give time with. And if I want to take it to that level, you know, being mindful of the things that we need to be reminded of when we are with someone, okay? Now, I'm just going to keep it real because I'm trying to sugarcoat it, and I just don't work well when I sugarcoat. So we just need to be careful on who we decide to share our space with, because once we have that shared space and you get that bond and that spiritual soul tie and gets it going on, it's going to be a situation. It's one of those things that's hard to get out, and I don't have to go out and tell you all about soul tithing. So with that being said, what I will say about this, you know, I have two beautiful children, and I will never argue that, and I'm grateful for that. But the role of when I was married versus not married, and even when I went through my divorce, the role of the single mother is, you know, it's interesting because in the United States, when I was researching for the show, I realized that there are five top countries that have high rates for single mothers. We were number one on the list. And then UK was second. And I thought that was interesting that UK fell second. They are second on the list when it comes to single mothers. And as a role of a single mother, I'm going to quote something that my son said. When you think that these kids are not paying attention, they are paying attention. Well, let me paraphrase it. He indicated that you are really doing a lot, Mom. Let me go back. He said, I really want you to get married again, remarried again. And I said, well, why do you say that, son? He said, because, and I think I've mentioned this to you all before, you know, that you're lonely and, you know, need somebody there that's going to help you. We need your prescriptions. When you need this, you need that. And this is coming from, I believe he was 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old when he was saying this. And so I finally had to tell him, you know, God has been good to us. You know, no, we may not have everything that everyone else have, but do we have a roof over our head? Yes. Do we have clothes on our back? Yes. Do we have food on the table? Yes. We have all those essentials. And as long as we got that, as long as we got God, yes, there's some times I may get, I feel alone, but I'm never lonely. I'm never lonely because God is always there. He's always there to pick us up. But that role as a single mother is interesting because these kids pick up on us as single parents at times. Now, don't get me wrong. Our kids are going to be kids. Of course, they want this. They want that. They're going to take it for granted. Don't take us for granted. But in the end, when it's all said and done, my son, for instance, is definitely paying attention. And he sees when he mentions to me in a conversation that you're out here, you're busting your butt, and, you know, other people are not doing their part. And I said, you know what? Okay, they're not doing their part. But guess what? I'm doing mine, and you're good to go. So the only thing we can do is pray for them. We can literally pray for them because better days are coming. Better days are coming. And as long as we take care of the small things, he'll bless us with the big things. So with that being said, I'm not sure what's up with my guest tonight because, like I said, she's coming in from California, so I'm not exactly sure what happened. But you all know, one month, you know, talk to show with me. So, and you all know I like to talk. So with that being said, we're just going to keep on the subject of the single mother because it did have me, that topic really had me thinking about me personally. And I know of some people that, you know, are have had the role of the single mother and how much it is. And I'm just going to just be real because I think I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, one, as mothers and especially African-American mothers, we are taught to handle our business. We're taught to, you know, we got to be strong. We got to make sure we got to survive. We got to make sure we have everything we need to have, not more so for us, but to make sure who we're taking care of is taken care of. And when I decided to make this move to Georgia, it was totally a leap of faith. I got to a point, I just got over congestive heart failure. And I knew that at this point in my life, I needed a change. And I thank God for who he is because he sent my son to save me. He definitely saved me. My son was definitely a blessing for me because he saved me because God knew where I was going. But it was different because I'm just going to be real. This is testimony time. You know, at that point in my life, I lived a life where I really didn't have to do much as far as because if things needed to be done, someone would always do it for me. They would tell me what I needed to do. They would just, I didn't have any clue. So when I had Chase and I moved to Atlanta, I had to learn interdependence. What is interdependence? I'm glad you asked. Interdependence is when you depend on God and when you depend on yourself to survive. I had to learn how to live at the age of, how old were I when I had Chase? 40. Because I had Chase at 40 years old. I had to learn how to do that. And when I came to the Atlanta area, one, I stepped out of faith, and I'm grateful that I had family that I could come and stay while I was there to get myself together until I was able to get off on my own. And was it easy? No, because I had to learn how to budget. I'm still learning how to budget. Actually, I've gotten a whole lot better. But when I look at all the things that people thought that I should have known, I didn't know. I literally didn't know. And I was like literally like a fish out of water. I'm just telling, being truthful, you know, like a fish out of water on learning how to live, how to organize my bills, how to organize my life, how to, you know, take care of this child, because my oldest son spent a lot of his time with his father than he did with me. And then when he came with me, he came back when he was like maybe in the 10th or so and so grade. You know, he left when he left. He was a first grader. So it was a transition. I had him during the summers. So it was a transition that I literally was raising my old youngest child from scratch. And as a single mother, it's interesting because when I had my ex-husband, you know, he was there, even though he was there but wasn't there because I was still a single mother per se in that situation. But he was there, you know, to take care of the house, because at that time I had my house and I had this and I had that. And so I had that. But this time I had to do everything on my own from scratch. And that was very interesting because if anyone is familiar with PTSD and postpartum depression after pregnancy, I was dealing with that because I was dealing with a bad breakup. I was dealing with so much stuff, but I couldn't really deal with it because I knew I had a baby to raise. So I knew I had to find me a job. I knew I had to, you know, I had to provide for my youngin. And I really didn't have that support when I needed to go to a therapist. I didn't have that support where someone would watch Chase for me. And so I had to suck it up, you know, literally suck it up and do what I had to do. And now that I've been here for 10 years, next month, as a matter of fact, it will be 10 years because Chase will be, no, I apologize, it will be 11 years since I've been here in the Georgia area now. And why am I telling this story? Because I know I'm not the only one who's been through. And, you know, all things happen for a reason. Sometimes I'm disappointed, I am not lying, but I know things happen when people can't come, and I'm okay with that. But I take advantage of the opportunity to share a story, and I don't mind sharing mine because I know there's people out there who are going through, and I'm glad you know you're not by yourself. Being a single mother is hard. It is hard. It is hard at times. And anybody who finds that it's easy, hey, call me up because I need some lessons. I really, really do need some lessons. So I admire women who have multiple children and who are raising their children as a single mother. I admire my mother. Because even though I didn't live the most part of my life with my mother, she was there for part of my life. And to see that she and I had one, but she had two. She had me and my two brothers, and she was raising us on her own. And now that I'm older and I can see it now, I have a better respect for her because there is no break when you have children. I don't know anyone else, but those who've been watching or listening later, there is no break when you're a single mother. When I'm sick, I'm still, you know, we can both be sick, but I'm still the one who's got to make it right. And I remember having a moment, I think I might have had food poisoning or something like that. And I finally went to work. But when they called me and told me something happened to my son, I forgot everything about what was going on with me. And it was like, okay, survival mode. I need to take care of my son. But I think my challenge came as a single mother is when I got real sick. Like people like to say for real sick. I remember it was December. It was a few years. It was over 5 years ago now because I was at another job out in Peachtree Corners. But I remember, and for those who knows me, that I have an autoimmune. I've been diagnosed with two autoimmune. And it just so happened I was going through a lot of stress at that job. I had just lost someone who was very dear to me at that same time. Then I was showing how people were showing their true colors of who they really were at the same time. So I was dealing with a lot of stress. I was dealing with being threatened of my job. I was dealing with so much. And then someone caught strep throat. And when they caught strep throat, it went rampant throughout the office. And guess who caught it? It would have been me. And when I caught it, I'll never forget, I went home on a Friday. And all of a sudden, my body started going in shutdown mode. I started bleeding out of my nose. I would wake up with blood and blood clots on my pillow. I just didn't understand. I knew something was going on. But I remember I couldn't even take my son to school. I was so weak. But I remember him wanting to eat, and I didn't have the strength to go to the kitchen to make him something. So I got in my car, and through God's grace, because he watched over fools and babies, I went to Chick-fil-A, and I went and got him something to eat. I didn't, unbeknownst to me, I was spilling his fruit all along the way. And but I got in the house. I called my girlfriend up at the time. I made her aware of what's going on. And she came over to the house. I said, hey, would you pick up Kay for me? And when she came to the house, I was almost lethargic at that point, like fully lethargic. It was getting there. And she called the ambulance because she saw me. I had the heat maybe on 100. It was burning up in there, but I was cold as I don't know what. I felt so sorry for Kay. But the ambulance came. When the ambulance came, I was bleeding profusely down my face. And they couldn't take me to the ambulance until they got consent. God gave me the grace to say, hey, take me to the emergency room. It just so happened Chase was there. He was there when I had my heart attack. He was there during my stroke. And now he was there probably maybe the worst situation he's seen me in my life. He was downstairs, and they took me off in the ambulance, and and at that point, I was lethargic. I can't even tell you about the ambulance ride. I couldn't tell you that. I do know that when I woke up in the hospital, I not only had to deal with, all kind of infections going on with me, but even with that, I was still concerned about my baby. I needed to call home to get my baby. Just so happened the friend that came and picked him up, you know, she knew who to call if something went down. But even with that, I was still concerned about my baby because I'm a single mother. I need to make this work. And the only thing I can think about when I went through my health challenges, and this one in particular, because I got even more serious, I was literally dying in my apartment for my son. I was literally dying. And that's hard for a single mama. If you ever gone through a situation like that and what's the first thing you're thinking about? For me, it was like, okay, I need to get better for my son. I had a heart attack. I had to work to get better to get back home to my son. I had strokes. I had to work to get better so I could get back to my son. But this time I knew that I was dying. I was, I felt like I was dying. I mean, it was really bad. The bowels, leaving it all that it was really bad. When I got to the hospital and I became lethargic, I found myself I had blood packed on my side of my face, and my son to this day still remembers, Mom, you remember when you were sick and you had that blood? You had blood. My brother said, he didn't know. They were scared. They were really scared for me. And he said he don't know how, when my mother came into the town, he said he didn't know how he had to prepare her for what he was about to walk into. And when he did, when I realized I had blood packed on my face, nothing I could do. I couldn't really do much with it. But long story short, I was more concerned about my son. As a single mother, we have to, it's just one of those reality hit, like, who's going to take care of my son? Because that's what we do as single mothers. What, who's going to take care of our children? And that's where I was left with. But through it all, I'm here, live, well, and being a chatterbox. So with that being said, I'm just curious for those who will be tuning in later, what have you experienced being a single mother? You know, I know there was one person that was on the live. I'm not sure if she's still on it or not. But if nobody understands what I'm going through, I know that one does. And it's a scary thought because we all we got. You know, I tell my son, we all we got. You know, we have people there, and yeah, family is there, and blah blah blah, and you know, and the other half don't want to do it, but we got each other, and we're gonna be all right. I'm just saying, for those who are single mothers, you know, all I want to do is encourage you to keep God and stay grounded in Him, because without Him, I don't know where I would have been. I literally, the enemy was trying to take me out. I found out that when I was in the hospital, I had to deal with another issue. So now I'm dealing with, I had, just before I got taken to the hospital, I had my right breast was like hurt. It's like something was, I don't know if it was something in it, but it was hard to lay on it. When I got to the hospital, that thing, whatever it was that came out of me, came out in the form of a blister. Now, infectious disease and infectious specialists are now coming in to find out, okay, we got to deal with this situation. Let's find out what's going on. And as a result of that, I ended up, and I still do have evidence of it, I ended up with a hole, a really big hole in my, I lost some of my right breast. And as far as fat and stuff, any fat and stuff that was in there. So, and I had to go to a wound recovery clinic at least a month or two afterwards because it was that bad. And my son, bless his heart, you know, in the end, he would help me do my paddings and stuff like that when I got home. But, you know, what's interesting, you know, being a single mother is the stuff you got to deal with family and friends. Who you would think that they'd be more supportive. And I'm not saying, I'm not, no pun against anybody. It's just interesting. A lot of people have a false misconception that when you go in the hospital, you get rest. That's the last thing you get when you're in the hospital, okay? Let me just go ahead and put that out there. There's no rest because they're always poking and prodding on you. And for me, being a special case, it was so interesting that I didn't realize how serious what was going on until I tried to get up to go to the bathroom. And when I did, I didn't realize they put bells and whistles on your bed. And that alone scared me so bad, I don't think I wanted to go to the bathroom anymore. But it was just that I was so weak, I had lost control of my bowels and everything. I could not get out of that bed, and they would not let me go. My thing was, I wasn't ready for my son to see me just yet because I didn't want him to see me in that state. And so, of course, my family stepped in immediately and made sure my son was all right. And so I say all that to say, when it comes to being a single mother, what I had to learn, some of the lessons I had to learn is I have to keep myself maintained. I could be bitter, but it's not going to make me better. And as women, you know, especially our single mothers, we have a tendency of trying to blame. Know what I had done? I ain't gonna say that I never did that. But what I did have to do is take accountability for the role that I play for the situation that I got in. And that's what I would, you know, suggest that I will put out to people. Ask yourself, how did you get here? That's what I had to do. I made that decision. So I'm not going to sit there and put my child's father down because the truth of the matter is I'm the one that chose my child's father. So who are you really coming after? Because what it does is a reflection of your choice. And I had to live with it. And so with that being said, you know, as being that single mother, I don't know, there's so many things and so many facets, because there's so many facets when it comes to being a single parent, you know, being that single mother. You know, one, we got to make sure our head right with the Lord, because without him, we ain't going to be able to do much. Now, I don't know about anybody else. If anybody else making it work, somebody else, I don't even think I would want to know, because God has just been too good. But making sure that we're rooted in who our source is, because he will never leave us or forsake us, and he is just waiting for us to come. You know, one of the things I have to do is I'm always taking self-accountability, and I'm always having a self-reflection moment. A self-reflection moment is when I ask myself, okay, you're in this situation. You understand why you're in this situation. The question is, do you want to stay in this situation? And if you don't, what are we going to do this? I can do my part. You can ask me for whatever you want to ask me. You can seek the answers. You can search for it. But once I give it to you, what are you going to do? And for me, I had to make up my mind that, one, I don't want another woman raising my child. I don't want the foster care system raising my child. I don't want anybody else raising my child. So I had to get my loins together. Now, that was a process as well, because I was also dealing with addictions and stuff at that time. And it was actually my having my son that really started. You know, that's when I realized change was coming. God was changing me in different ways. And so my outlook on certain things wasn't the same. It was different. So I knew something was coming. I knew it was coming along. It was just a matter of time. So when that final, you know, what's that movie, Kill Bill, Crew to the Cross moment happened, that's when I knew that it was time to make the change. And I got sick and tired and sick and tired. And for those who know me, know I don't know how to wean off of anything, so I had to cut it cold turkey. Whatever it is that wasn't feeding me and was failing me, it had to go. And at that time, I did that. And in that sense, let me just be honest with you. For me, and I can only speak about me, it has been an interesting road living life as a single mother with just me. It has been, but it has sharpened me in so many ways, and it's also humbled me. My grandmother was always say, you know, Chyna, if they give you stone, you give them bread. And my attitude back in the day was, if they give me stone, I'm gonna give them stone back. In fact, I'm gonna take up that stone and hit them in the head. But I realized as I've grown and gone through a lot, what it is meant by that, because I've learned I've wasted too much energy on things that really doesn't require my energy. And one of the things I learned being a single mother is you don't have a lot of time, okay? We don't have a lot of time these days, okay? So either you want to get it together or you not. And that's just all to it, because, honey, we are in a spiritual battle, whether y'all want to believe this or not. We are. So not only am I only responsible for me, I'm responsible for mine, which will be my youngest. My oldest is old enough. He's accountable for what he does. I've instilled the greatness, and when I say greatness, the matters that I've instilled God in him. So he knows his roots, and I'm grateful that his father knows it too, and all the people he's been surrounded by. And you know what? As kids, we did too. We all strayed away, and he did too. But now he's seeing it, and he's understanding why it was so hard, you know, on him. And I will tell you this, being a single mother and you're raising boys, I'm not saying raising girls is easier. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is I can only speak on raising boys. And I know that, you know, when we're dealing with our society, I have boys, and they are handsome, intelligent, future kings. One of them are a king. One is a prince raising to be a king. And the things that I taught my oldest son was double time in this little one right here. And, but anyway, just sticking to the facts and saying close to God, and you'll never go wrong with that. Never, ever, ever go wrong with that. Now I think I'm trying to circle back to where I was going to with my principles. You know, staying focused and taking accountability for what we do and how we do it. That's one of the things that we have to remind ourselves of, because let's face it, it's not easy, because we live in a society as Black women where they seem to think that, oh, she can handle it. She can handle it. She's going to be all right. You know, she got that S on her chest, you know, where we walk around with smiles on our faces. And the truth of the matter is we could be going through a whole lot and we will still have a smile on our face. We will still have a smile on our face, because anybody who knows me knows I love to smile. And I will smile and have the most pain going on in my life, but I will still smile, and it takes a lot to take the smile off of my face. It really does. I'm one extreme or the other. Either like you, I don't, love you if I don't, but there is no middle ground with me. Not the only person who get the middle ground is my children. You know, they get the middle ground with me. Everybody else, though. And I don't know, I got to be careful when I say that. You know, I'm not really one who like to talk all the time. But I found myself having to do it more with my oldest than with my youngest. I mean, with my youngest than with my oldest. And I'm sorry if y'all hear that beep. It's driving me nuts with the fire extinguisher. Anyway, going back, and there's so many things I can talk to you about, but the main thing I want to do is be an encouragement for those who may be expecting their first child, actually have their first child, or thinking about having children. You know, those who are thinking about having children, I want to particularly hone on you for a second. Please be mindful when it comes to having children, for the simple fact is having children are meant to be done with two people. You're supposed to wait till marriage, but I can't sit there and tell you that I did that, because I didn't. But if I could do it all over again, I would. I would have done it the right way. The Bible was designed for a reason. It's an instruction of life. And if I could do that again, I would. I would definitely follow the instruction of life, because it leads to less heartache and pain. And but anyway, what I will say this, and those, you know, be careful who you share your space with or who you allow to share your space with. I remember it was this movie called A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. And I remember Della Reese telling Martin Lawrence, you better be careful on how you treat these women, because a temporary moment of pleasure can lead to a lifetime of frustration. And that is very true when it comes to picking out people or, you know, not being serious about them. So with that being said, be mindful, ladies. And those who are single and you are in a, you know, you're looking to move forward, just be mindful with that. Because I'm not saying that being a single mother is a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. However, pregnancy is always best when you have a partner, and particularly your husband. It is always best when you have your husband there. There's a purpose for them, okay? And and going through that, you know, my second delivery was far, but I'll just say it's been very interesting. I'm going to be writing about that soon. And it goes back to, you got to be careful of the partner that you choose. You got to be very careful, because you could find yourself being in a place of hell that you're wondering, like, how in the world did I do this? And when you find yourself trying to settle, trying to make this work because of the child, and find out this is, for me, it just wasn't going to. I knew that I had something better. But you know what's interesting is that I knew it, and he was telling me this, and I did not listen. That's a story all. That's a whole new story altogether, all by itself. And I ended up with my son. But God will take the messing and turning into a blessing. And the mess that I was in was in that messy relationship. But God sent me a blessing as a result of it, and sent me my youngest son. Hey, Trey, how you doing, love? He sent me my youngest son. And when he sent me my youngest son, I felt a change in me happening. And as I was feeling that change in me happen, I had to give up the addiction that I had and the addictions that I had. That finally came because I knew it was coming in patterns. It was coming in patterns because I knew that I had to step up. And for the first time in my life, I had to really learn interdependence, depending on God and depending on myself. And I had to really step out on faith to say, okay, Lord, I have nothing but you, and I'm going to need you in this situation. So being a single parent and my diary of my being a single mom has its good and it has its not so good. And I say not so good, I wouldn't say not so good, but challenging. It has its challenging moments. And with that being said, I commend those who, you know, do right. And I mean, I'm going to always tell you, I've been there, and I can't say, well, you think, well, no, I'm just telling you what I know. Always wait until you're married. Wait until you're married. It's designed for a purpose. Marriage is designed on purpose. So we just got to make sure that when we do that. So with that being said, keep your feet planted. Keep your mind right. Use the power of discernment. If it ain't right, if it don't smell right, if it ain't walking right, it ain't right. Okay, because kids don't actually come into this world, and we have to be mindful where we're putting them through. Okay, and I still go through moments, you know, learning moments, and you still gonna learn until the day you take your last breath Can't even talk tonight. Until the day you take your last breath. But you got to be diligent and you got to be mindful and you have to be consistent because consistency is the key to breakthrough. And always remember that. Now, one day, I'm going to write about that because my experiences, especially from my youngest son, thankful for grace and mercy because without him, I would not be here today. Without him, I would have lost my mind. Without him, and I'm talking God the Father, without him, I would not know where I would be. But I do know this. I wouldn't be here with my son. So, but have being a single mother has its rewards. When you look at that child, when you carried that child for, well, in this case, mine was 7 months because I had to end up having my surgery induced because I was suffering through preeclampsia. I was going through the infusion. I was going through the platelets, and it was just interesting. But Chase ended up being maybe a pound or two short of, I think they have to be 5 pounds, and he was 4 pounds, 10 ounces. So, but I think about where he is now, and he keeps me on my toes now. God knew I needed somebody to keep me on my toes, and he really does. He is awesome. I can't even imagine life without either one of my children, especially my youngest. I cannot even imagine life without him. I'm grateful for God for who he is in my life and who he's raised me and turned me out to be. I had to go through get through what kind of labels I was keeping on myself, what kind of labels I am now walking in. And now I'm learning how to walk in my blessings because for so long we get so caught up in foolishness, meaning the hearsayers, the naysayers, and not only that, the prison that we put ourselves in our mind with. You are an awesome mother. If all my single women out, my single mothers out there, or I want you to know that you are awesome. God made you awesome. stay planted in him. Stay rooted in him. Do not waver. And even if you fall, honey, let me just go ahead and tell you this. We're not perfect, okay? We're going to fall, okay? Just don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. I know there are times when it gets hard. I was just having this conversation just yesterday. I won't lie to you. Sometimes I get tired. I do. So I definitely understand when you get tired at times. It's natural, okay? I don't want you to think that you're such a machine that you just don't, you know, we all get tired. And I got to that point. I just vented this out last night to my one of my besties from college, from St. Aug. I was like, I'm tired. Everything is on me. Everything is on me. And that's not, I'm not fussing. Let's make sure we're clear. I'm not fussing, but I'm venting because I know I'm not the only one. But yeah, I get tired. I get tired because I have to do everything. Everything falls on me. I have to make sure my health is in check because it falls on me. I got to make sure my health is in check because I need to make sure that I'm bringing the paycheck in because it all falls on me. So now I'm dealing with making sure that he's straight, dealing whatever he got going on, dealing whatever I got going on, and then making sure I'm maintaining so we have a roof over our head, we have food on the table, and maintaining and trying to maintain the absence of the other. But then you know what I've learned when it comes to that? Mothers, we can only be the best mother we can be. So please, I mean, don't get me wrong. I get what you're saying when you say Happy Father's Day to me, but I'm not a father. God is the Father. I'm all here to do. I can't teach my son how to be a man. I can teach him how to treat women. And that is the role that I know that I can play, and I will play it. When I make errors and mistakes, I let him see that. I don't act like I'm just out or holy, like I've never had any issues or anything like that. I trip and fall just like everybody else, but I let my son see wherever I am wrong or if I'm incorrect about something, I know how to humble myself and when to humble myself and explain what has happened. And I will tell you, when these kids pay attention, I remember I was I was downstairs. I had to come back upstairs for something. And someone blocked me in. I said, now who in the world blocked me in? And I had an attitude, and the gentleman was right behind me. He said, I did. Now I said, okay. I said, I'm so sorry, but I need to go. My son, he said, now, Mom, you know he didn't really mean that. I mean, you could have handled that a different way. I flagged that man down. I flagged him down, and I said, sir, I ask you that you please forgive me when I was being rude to you about that. He said, ma'am, I appreciate that, but you didn't have to do that. I said, no, but actually I did have to do that because I teach my son, it's not, you know, you got to be mindful how you treat people in front of them. When you make a mistake in front of them, you make that correction. You make sure you correct it in front of them. And I said, no, I have to make this right because I teach my son to do things such as this, so I have to do it as well. So I thank you for being gracious about it, but I had to make sure I get that done. I say all that to say this. I let my son know I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your mother. So always remember that. So I remember I said this before, but I got this from my classmate when I was working on a show. And I actually did a show that said, trust me now, believe me later. And what we were talking about is like when we have our kids and we have to tell our kids, no, you're not going to be able to do this. No, you're not going to be able to do that. And I tell my son all the time, I understand you think that I'm fussing at you, but I promise you, you have to trust me now and believe me later because I'm not going to put you in a position that you don't need to be in. And as we go on with life, I will say this about Chase. And I can even say about Corey Jr. I'll say with Chase first, that as we go on, he just thinks, my mom just rah, 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 rah. And yes, yeah, he is correct. But there are some things that, you know, hey, let's break this down. Because he's at that stage now where he feels like he don't do no wrong. He can't understand, well, I don't understand. I just did this. Yeah, but as a result of doing that, did you not know that wasn't the right thing? You know, so we go through all that because he is definitely his mother's child. That's all I want to say that. So I got to break that thing down so he can understand. This is where them coaching skills start coming in. If you could have done that better, how would you have done that? Or better yet, now that you have done that, do you feel like that, you know, that you, if you, you know, did you do something wrong or if you didn't do this? And, you know, so in the end, we have that conversation. Some, it comes and requires more than one conversation, and others, he's able to fit it. But I always try to plant something in his head to make him understand, okay, it's always best when you have people realize it's their idea and what they could have done better, because that's where the lesson is learned. Now, my oldest son, he is definitely his mama's child, okay? And we've been bamming, you know, we used to bam, 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 bam. And finally, you know, I was like, you know, at this point, you know, son, when you ready, you call me. Because right now you ain't ready. So you call me when you're ready. And I said, because what I'm not going to do with you being a grown man is that I'm not going to put myself on with unnecessary stress. I'm not going to do that. Now, I understand you got your views. You know you're strong about your feels. Hey, how are you, lady? How are you? I know you're strong about your skills. You want to, you know, express yourself. I understand, but still remember, I'm your mama. And you only get one. So, and I worked hard to get to this place right here in my life. And I'm not going to let anything or anyone take me back there. And it was just across the board. And I'm still at that stage right now where I'm that, you know, peeling the onion and all that. And I'm learning that, you know what, I'm at that point now, because when I look at my faith, I look at the changes I've gone through, being diagnosed with lupus now, being diagnosed with Evans syndrome. I start looking at different stuff, and stress wears me out. It wears me out. So I tell my children, we're not doing that. We can have a conversation, but what I cannot do is I can't help what I don't know. So if you don't tell me what's going on and communicate, there's nothing, I can't help you. So we're still learning that, but I will have to say I got to give credit to my oldest son. We're at that point now where he is actually speaking, we're actually communicating, you know, like, and he's an adult now, and he did have to have that conversation with me about, you know, respecting him as an adult. He's no longer a child. That was a hard conversation for me, but I was prepared for it because a friend of mine prepared me for it, because he was in the Navy, like my son was in the Navy, and he said he's going to have that moment where he's going to talk to you about it. And I was like, okay. So when he came to me and said, Mom, you know, I love you, you're my mom and everything, but I'm a grown man now. I can, you know, I was like, okay, you know, what can I do? You know, he's older now. He'll be 28 in July. He'll be 28 in July, and my youngest will be 12 in May. And so, but the 17 years between the two, y'all pray for me now. Just keep me in prayer. 17 years, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. Someone asked me the question, if you could do it all over again, would you do it? On the fence. For the most part, no. I wouldn't trade the betrayal. I wouldn't trade the abuse. I wouldn't trade the attempted rape. I wouldn't trade none of that or the stuff that I've gone through, and because it made me the person I am now and prepare me for the person that God is going to make me out to be. So I say all this. I know I was kind of all over the place, but so much I can say about this. As my single mothers, I'm just here to let you know that keep grinding, keep shining, keep moving, keep knowing that you are blessed and highly favored, and always know you can do not some things, you can do all things. I know it gets hard. I know it gets hard. I know it gets hard. If you got to cry, baby, cry. If you got to go somewhere and yell, yell. Do whatever you need to do, but to get it out. Don't keep it in, because when you keep frustration and stuff in, it eats at you like cancer. And you know what happens if you pack it on in? As other stuff is going to come, other stuff is going to come, other stuff is going to come, and next thing you know, boom, done, at least for that moment. And you can avoid that. Listen, this is my arrogant side coming up. I'm too fine and too smart to continue to go down the same path. You can't continue to do the same thing over again and expect a different result. That is the definition of insanity, and we're just not going to do that. So my single mothers, continue to live like cream and rise to the top. I promise you, it will pay off in the end. Yeah, that struggle may be hard, but trouble don't last always. It don't. Our kids are our blessings, and all we can do is the best that we can do for them, and how we walk and how we talk, and instilling the word of God in them. Because we knew this as children. We were taught the word of God, and I'm just going to tell you, I didn't throw it away, okay? I remember walking to church, and my club card fell out my Bible. I was like, oh, Jesus. But my point is this, look at me now. And I wouldn't trade it. It was like all these lessons, and I'm still having lessons. I don't want you to think I got it all going on and got this. No, I don't. It's still all a lesson. And with that being said, I know you can do it. Go in the mirror and tell yourself every morning, saying, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. I commit my day to you. He said, new morning, new mercies I see. It's going to happen. What happened yesterday is just what it was yesterday. And there is nothing you can do about that. But you can't worry about the future. But what you can do is worry about what you have on today and what you got going on today. And I tell people when they tell me, well, I'm having such a bad day, blah, 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 blah. I said, yeah, but you're having a day. Because I know some people who can't say that. So what are you tripping about? You know, think about the positive things. When we get in that mode where we want to complain, think about where he has led us, where he has kept us, where we are now. Think about where you were before you got to this place called now. And look back for reflection. Turn back and be like, you know what? It's going to be all right. Go back through your faith files. Remind yourself of situations that you know that you know that you know that you could not have gone through without him, okay? And that alone for me is like, you know what? If he got me through that, I know he'll get me through this. And I'm here to tell you, I had a meltdown moment just last night. Not just the being a single mother part, but the place of employment, I was just like, oh my gosh. But you know what? Aggravation brings elevation. Remember that. So with that being said, I see that my guest has already chimed in, so I'll have to do a brain check. To get her back on the show, get her rain check. I pray that my testimony, it's always a blessing to me when I can share it, because there's power in your story. I'm a firm believer of that. There is power in your story. And if you don't journal, voice record it, whatever you want to do, but share your story. Your story is not designed for you to keep to yourself. Your story is designed to help somebody who's going to go through or who's going through what you've been through. You are a testimony to show. God will show them that if I got her through, I'll get you through. I'm letting you know. I'm sending you living proof that you will come through. I'm sending you this so that I'm your testimony. I don't mind sharing mine. You all know I'm a fishbowl. I'm a fishbowl, and I don't mind sharing my story. So upcoming events, I will see you tomorrow morning on Chronicles of when I do my Chronicles for Comfort moments. I will let you know starting in August, okay? I will continue to do my Facebook Live Monday through Friday for my Chronicles for Comfort moments. But on Sundays, I'm going to take it back. I'm taking Chronicles back to what it was originally designed to do, and that is to do live stream radio. So I will be sending and posting the link for you to listen to the show on Sunday nights, 9:30, okay? So I'm doing that now until August. Right now, I'm going to still be on the show Monday through Friday doing my Chronicles with Comfort moments. But on Sundays, we're taking it back, taking Chronicles back home full time, which will be on the radio. So with that being said, I will also give you the link to the show like I normally do. I will make sure that you have it earlier. Good evening, love. Make sure you have it earlier in the week. I will still be introducing the show. The person who's going to our show, the person, the guest is going to be on the show. I will still do that. But on Sunday nights, I will not be live on Facebook unless God says something different. But as of right now, I'm taking it back home, and I'm taking Chronicles back to Sunday nights as always. But through Blog Talk only, so you will be able to listen in on the show as I have other people that who are listening to the show from out of the country. And I think I have someone in each continent, but I have quite a few countries that's listening into it. So I want to be able to manage the desk like the way I want to, the way it was designed to be. So I'm giving that heads up, so I'm going to give the constant reminders. So next Sunday, I am very, very happy. I'm going to be, I am going to be part of an anthology, and I will have the authors on the show for the whole month of May. That the whole month of May is dedicated to all the authors, the anthology project I'm taking a part of called Imperfectly Fierce and Focused, Crushing Your Goals. Wow, it's something like that. I'm so, I got to get it together here, y'all. Crushing Your Goals While Still, no, I'm sorry. It's Imperfectly Fierce and Focused. I know that for a fact. My first guest, I believe, will be Coach Kiva Murdo. She is a visionary author of this particular anthology project, and the whole month of May will be dedicated to them. I'm so excited, and I'm looking forward to having them on the show, and also looking forward to sharing my part as well. I love you, but God loves you more. Be blessed. I'll see you tomorrow at 7:30.